Chapter 5. Once she stepped through the large stone doors that led into Whitehall, she felt a rushing, tingling sensation in the air, followed by a faint shimmer that seemed to dance over her body before fading away into nothingness. Her mind felt oddly muffled, as if her ears had been blocked by some outside force, as she walked past a long line of statues wearing armor. The effect felt like the sensation she'd experienced at Void's Tower, but it was much more pronounced. She knew that this must be what magic felt like. The Grandmaster looked up at her and smiled.
"There are powerful wards in Whitehall," he said by way of explanation. "Some to keep outsiders from breaking in, others to stop you and your fellow students from harming yourselves."
Emily nodded. The rows of immobile armor gave way to a series of paintings of wizards, almost all of them men. There were only a handful of pictures of women, including one of a blonde girl who seemed to be staring at the painter, daring him to do his worst. She couldn't read the names under the paintings. None of the pictures were moving openly, but every time she looked away and then looked back, the pose in each picture was different. They passed a handful of students waiting in the corridor, who stepped to one side to allow the Grandmaster to pass, as they reached a flight of stairs and walked up to a higher floor. The sense of magic in the air was only growing stronger. Like Void's Tower, Emily realized, Whitehall was far larger on the inside than the outside. It made her wonder what else might be hidden inside the building. Secret passageways, hidden bases, perhaps even a place for the tutors to hide and rest away from their pupils. It made sense. Human nature probably didn't change even if magic was involved. She followed the Grandmaster into a long corridor and blinked in surprise as she saw a line of students standing with their backs to the wall and their hands on their heads. None of them looked her in the eye as she walked past, which made her realize that they must be in trouble. It didn't surprise her. The students she had known back home had been quite capable of getting into trouble without magic. So who knew what mischief someone with magic could do? At the head of the corridor, a harassed-looking man wearing a black robe was talking to one of the students, a young girl with a faintly ill expression.
"But he hexed me, Master," she said as they passed. "I didn't actually mean to turn his skin blue."
"And how many times," the tutor inquired sarcastically, "have you been warned never to feed anyone a potion without testing it first?"
Before Emily could reflect on this, the Grandmaster led her onwards again, past a pair of statues of wizards carrying wands and a strange creature with a human head and goat's body. After that odd display, they stepped through a wooden door into a large room dominated by a massive wooden desk and a throne-like chair. It was decorated sparsely, with only a pair of pictures and a couple of parchments Emily guessed to be certificates. They certainly looked like the certificates on the principal's walls back on Earth. The desk itself appeared hand-carved, covered in little sigils that had been cut into the wood, but it was barren without the computer or telephone that she would have seen back home.
"Stand there," the Grandmaster ordered, as he walked around the table and took his seat, facing her.
Emily somehow forced herself to stand still, despite the oddities of the day.
"Void wishes for you to learn magic."
"Yes, sir," Emily said nervously. She had the feeling that she needed to be very polite to the Grandmaster. He might be small and slight, but he could probably turn her into a toad with a snap of his fingers. Back home, there were laws against mistreating students, even if they were the sort of kids who deserved a sound spanking rather than love and understanding. Those laws might not exist here.
"You have the potential to be a proper sorceress," he says.
The Grandmaster looked down at the table, as if he couldn't be bothered looking at her.
"We will have to verify that, of course. And in doing so, we must ensure that you receive a proper grounding in all forms of magic. There will be several days of testing before we start assigning you to classes, as well as exercises and other tricks to hone your powers in the proper direction."
Emily nodded, feeling her head spinning. There were more forms of magic than just two? The Grandmaster looked up at her sharply.
Have you worked magic already?
Emily hesitated. I don't think so, she said finally. I sensed magic, but... He shook his head.
We'll have to show you how to unlock your powers. I'll have Mistress Irene work with you, at least at first.
He studied her for a long moment.
Void wasn't entirely clear on where you came from, he said. Would you care to enlighten me?
It wasn't a request, Emily realized. Quickly, she ran through the entire story, from when she'd been kidnapped by Shade, to the moment Void had put her on the dragon and sent her to Whitehall. Uniquely, at least in the adults she had met, he had the ability to listen without interrupting. The Grandmaster listened until she had finished, and then asked her a couple of questions for clarification. Emily answered the first one easily, but the second was impossible. There was no magic in her world, as far as she knew.
Interesting, the Grandmaster said.
He looked down at the table again.
First things first. Void, or Shade, gave you a translation spell. Probably Shade. There is something about it that suggests that it was designed for use on someone who might not want it. You can understand us, but I suspect you won't be able to read our writing.
Emily shook her head, remembering the painting. She'd wondered how she could talk to the locals. Neither Shade nor Void would know English. Of course they'd used magic to translate their words into something she could understand. Under the circumstances, it bothered her. One of them had cast a spell on her, and she hadn't even realized it, until the Grand Master had pointed it out. What else might they have done to her? But the Grand Master pressed onwards before she had enough time to ponder that thought.
I will have Mistress Irene teach you a basic translation spell for written words, he said. Beyond that, you may be well advised to study the language and learn it as quickly as possible. A proper understanding will make it easier to take your studies forward to the highest levels.
It wasn't a request, Emily realized. Part of her wanted to chafe at the requirement. No one had ever forced her to learn another language, but the practical part of her mind told her that she had no choice. Besides, she had never studied outside the country before. The rules were probably different for exchange students. They had to be able to communicate with their hosts. He smiled, thinly.
You're not from this world, but I'll give you the standard lecture anyway. The allied lands may have countless disputes, ancient and modern, but they are not tolerated in this school. Students who pick fights with other students over such divisive issues are punished. Those who remain here long enough to enter the advanced classes are expected to swear an oath to the White Council and abandon their nationalist beliefs. There are too many necromancers out there for us to be distracted by infighting.
Yes, sir, Emily said. Questions filled her mind, demanding answers. What was the White Council? And what were the advanced classes? She pushed them aside, knowing that there would be time to find out later. She needed to get her bearings first. The Grand Master shrugged.
You should be able to rise above it, as whatever disputes there were on your world are unlikely to matter here. However, in the event that you don't rise above it, you will be punished. It's astonishing how many students refuse to believe the warning until it is too late.
His unseen eyes, hidden behind the cloth, seemed to fix on her face.
There is a great temptation to misuse magic in this school. We allow a certain degree of latitude for youngsters, because it helps them to learn to control their powers. But there are limits. You'll hear more specific warnings later. But, in particular, anything that risks a fellow student's life is grounds for immediate expulsion from the school. Those who actually manage to kill a fellow student will have to face that student's family.
Emily gulped. What had she gotten herself into?
Does that happen very often?
Too often, the Grand Master said. His voice was grim, suggesting that he was recalling dark days when students under his care had been hurt, or worse. If there is any doubt at all over what happened, everyone involved will be interrogated under truth spells until the truth comes out into the light, after which punishments will be assigned.
He stood up suddenly.
We hope that you will enjoy your years here, and that you will live up to the potential void sensed in you, but there are limits to what we can tolerate, he concluded. But you're not from here. You should be able to ignore the political scrabbling and infighting between different factions.
I'll do my best, sir, Emily promised. The Grand Master's lips twitched.
The proper title is Grand Master, young lady, he said drolly. I suggest that you listen to how tutors introduce themselves and remember it. They take it so personally when someone gives them the wrong title.
He smiled more naturally.
If you will come with me.
The line of students standing against the wall had grown longer in the few minutes they'd been in the Grand Master's office. A pair of them glanced at Emily as she passed. The remainder ignored her, seemingly reluctant to risk catching the Grand Master's attention. Absently, she wondered what sorts of punishments were assigned in a magical school. Did they have to write lines or do detentions, or were they simply turned into frogs for a few hours? She shook her head, dismissing the thought. No doubt she would find out soon enough. They stopped in front of a blank wall that the Grand Master tapped with his staff. It opened, revealing another corridor leading away into the distance. The stone walls were interrupted every few meters by wooden doors. A short, fat woman waddled out of a side door and looked up at the Grand Master before taking a long and thoughtful look at Emily.
This is Madame Raz, the Grand Master said. She is your house mother for your first 2 years at the school. I suggest that you listen to her very carefully.
Thank you, Grand Master, Madame Raz said. She had a tart voice that suggested that she wouldn't stand for any nonsense. What time is her first class?
Mistress Irene will arrange that, the Grand Master informed her. Until then, she is free to be outfitted with everything she needs for her first term.
He nodded to Emily, then turned and strode out of the concealed door. Emily turned back in time to see Madame Raz study her with a faintly disapproving expression. But before Emily could start to worry about it, she beckoned Emily to follow her down the corridor into a large storeroom, which was crammed with everything from clothes to bedding and toilet supplies. Madame Raz studied her for another long moment before producing a white robe from a pile of clothing and thrusting it at her. Emily held it up against her body and realized that it would fit, although it would also conceal the shape of her body from prying eyes. The white robes are assigned to newcomers to Whitehall, Madame Raz informed her coldly. She plucked what looked like an oversized pair of panties off a railing, followed by an undershirt and a pair of socks, passing them all to Emily. You are not permitted to wear anything else outside your room, particularly anything that may cause divisiveness among the students. You will be assigned 5 pairs of everything, which you will be responsible for. You will make sure that it is put out for wash, and then collected from the laundry room. If you lose anything, you will be charged for it. I love you too, Emily thought. The Grand Master had seemed a decent guy, even if he had issued heavy-handed warnings. Madame Raz, on the other hand, appeared to be inclined to assume the worst of any of the girls. She had to have stepped right out of a boarding school from hell. You will change your bedding once every week, Madame Raz continued, thrusting more packets of cloth at her.
Once changed, you will place the bedding to be washed along with your clothes. Luckily, the beds are standard, so we can interchange bedding if necessary. However, you are also responsible for removing any protective charms that you might have placed on the sheets. Accidentally leaving one in place to attack the laundry room staff will result in you being assigned to help them for at least a week.
She picked a small amulet out of a bag and passed it over to Emily.
This is a guide to the interior of the building, which changes regularly, she explained. In the event that you need to go anywhere, hold the amulet in your left hand and speak the name of the place aloud. A ball of light will appear in the air and guide you to your destination. If it refuses to work, you don't have permission to enter that part of the building yet. Certain parts will remain off limits until you reach a particular level. Wear the amulet until you learn how to ask the school for directions using your own magic.
Emily glanced down at the amulet and then put it around her neck.
Toothbrush, toothpaste, washing powder, watch, medical potions,
Madame Raz continued, piling bottles of liquid on top of the clothes Emily was already carrying.
During that time of the month, take one swig of this liquid per day, and the effects will be much reduced. Be careful not to leave samples of your blood lying around. It maintains a link to you, and someone with bad intentions can use it to hex you, or worse. There are charms to cut the link. Until you learn them, hand any blood-stained items over to me for disposal.
The watch was odd, seemingly out of place. Emily looked at it and realized, finally, that it was actually designed for someone to wear around their neck, or carried within their jacket, rather than worn on their wrist. It used clockwork, she decided, rather than anything electronic. She'd have to wind it regularly to keep it working. Madame Raz finally picked a book up from one end of the room, then led Emily back into the corridor. Emily followed her, staggering slightly under the weight, until they reached a single door, no different from any of the others. Madame Raz rapped on it sharply, then opened it by tapping a finger against a rune that had been cut directly into the stone. Inside, there were three beds, two of them already made up and surrounded by piles of books and devices that Emily didn't recognize. The third bed was nothing more than an uncomfortable-looking mattress.
Place the bedding on the bed, Madame Raz ordered. I assume you know how to make up your own bed.
She sounded as if she didn't expect Emily to be capable of tying her shoelaces without assistance, but Emily nodded. The last thing she'd wanted was her mother or stepfather coming into her room back home. So she'd taken care of everything from a very early age. It wasn't actually hard to change a bed. It had always amused her that boys, and a number of girls, complained about how unfair it was that their parents made them do their own beds. They spent longer complaining than it took to make the bed.
Yes, Emily said. That's yes, madame, Madame Raz snapped.
She scowled at Emily, then nodded towards the door in the rear of the room.
Toilet, wash basin, and bath are in there. You'll have to come to an agreement with your roommates about rotas for using the bath. I'd prefer not to have to enforce one. The water basin over in that corner contains drinking water. If you happen to want food or anything else to drink, wait until morning. As a new student, you are not allowed to wander the building after lights out.
She turned and nodded towards the other beds.
I've put you in with Aloha and Imeka. Imeka is a first-year student, like yourself, while Aloha is a second-year student. As such, she is expected to take charge of the room. Should you keep the room clean and tidy, with a minimum of noise, fighting, and bother, you will be rewarded with room points that can be exchanged for decorations, books, or even sweets. I would strongly prefer not to have to intervene in disputes between you. In the event that it becomes unavoidable, you will all be punished. Do you understand me?
Yes, madam, Emily said, trying not to roll her eyes. I understand.
Good, Madame Raz said. I understand that Mistress Irene will contact you. In the event of her not doing so before dinner time, one of your roommates will take you down to the dining hall, or
use the amulet to find the hall. She marched over to the door and looked back at Emily. This school is very different than anywhere else in the Allied lands, she added, her tone becoming almost compassionate. It can be hard to adjust, particularly if you came from an aristocratic family. If you need help or advice, you can talk to me at any time.
Thank you, Emily said.
Madame Raz left, quickly closing the door behind her. Emily looked around the room, her gaze settling on a pile of books beside one of the beds. Her first impulse was to pick them up, but then she felt the magic haze surrounding them and realized that picking them up, at least without permission, would be a very bad idea. Instead, she sorted through the pile of clothing and bedding before placing the clothing in the empty cupboard nearest her bed. The bottles of medicine went into the smaller cabinet beside the bed, followed by the amulet. Finally, she started to make the bed. It was even easier than she had expected, although the mattress felt rough and uncomfortable once she'd tested it out. Lying back on the bed, she stared up at the ceiling and shook her head. Her life had turned upside down, yet she found some aspects easier to deal with than she had expected. What was strangest of all was how she felt about her old world. It seemed almost dreamlike now, and she knew that she would never want to go home. For a moment, she concentrated on her roommates. She'd never shared a room with someone else before, not even a sleepover with girlfriends. Whatever her roommates were like, she prayed that she could get on with them. Friends, or at least allies, would make her life here complete. And was one of them really named Aloha? Or was that just a translation glitch? Shaking her head, she picked up Void's book and started to leaf through the pages, wishing that she could read and understand the words. But even though Void had promised her that understanding would come in time, they were still nothing more than Greek to her. The spidery handwriting seemed impenetrable. "It's only been a day," she told herself. "See what you can do in a week."